Hello, everybody. Welcome to Voices from the Dark, back on RBL Berlin. This is episode number 32, I think. Yes. I always get the numbers mixed up. Today is Sunday, February 3rd, and I have another installment of the Voices from the Dark artist series. My guest today is Mengen, or her artist name is Tao Tao. And I'll let her introduce herself in a moment. Just want to say my voice is going to be a little bit weird because I'm sick, a little sick. I have a sore throat, so just try to ignore it. It sounds okay? Like Batman, okay, great. The Christian Bale Batman,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
I can take that. I'll take that. That sounds good. I'm going to be drinking a lot of tea and these sort of cough drops, so you might be hearing a lot of weird sounds coming from me, but hopefully that won't distract anybody. So yeah, as we usually do on the Voices from the Dark artist series, I let my guests introduce themselves, and yeah, so before we get to the sort of main questions, you can hear me, right?
Yes, I can.
Before we get to the main questions, why don't you just introduce yourself, just, you know, your name and...
Yes, I'm Tao Tao, so I'm a filmmaker and a novelist. I've been based in Berlin for 3 years, and previously I was living in Egypt and Italy. I'm originally from China. That's pretty much.
Okay, that's a good intro. So the way that this sort of this artist series sort of works is basically it's just a conversation, so you can say whatever you want. You don't have to say anything that you don't want to say, and it's the questions are journalistic: who, what, when, where, why, and then the big question at the end is how.
Perfect.
Which is sort of the, you know, the whole point of the show is the how. But yeah, so you told us your name and where you're from, and a little bit about where you've been, but let's start with the who. Like, who you are is not just your name or where you're from. It's something maybe bigger. So why don't you tell us more about who you are?
I'm a storyteller. So I published my first book when I was 16. That was in 1997. Ever since that, I just published books, novels in Chinese in the past 10 years. And altogether, I've published 7 books. It's selling okay. And in China, as an artist, it's quite different from the artists I've met in Berlin, because it's quite a commercial-driven society in China.
Okay.
And a novelist, a writer, that means I publish a book, and then my publisher will set me up with all the PR. And I'll go interview on a reality show. I even set up with the dating show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, all kinds of show, and celebrity judge for the top models, whatever they can set me in.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
So, yeah. But it's very awkward that I publish books in Chinese, and it's always, I can never go to the top 10 in China.
Never?
Never.
Why is that?
Because I always write about, not write about the Cultural Revolution or nothing about farmland, because I was born in Shanghai.
Okay.
I always write about the city girls and the city lives, and mostly it's about the lifestyle abroad. Well, I was living in Egypt and Italy. Mm. So it's not well received for the majority of Chinese readers, and that's why I come to Berlin.
Okay.
And I find that to make a film in English, it's easier okay. than publish a novel in Chinese.
Okay. So you mentioned a lot of your travels and you know, different things that we'll get to later on. But like I said, we have these sections. But I wanted to just go back a little bit and ask you, so you said you're a filmmaker and a novelist, right?
Yes.
So do you consider yourself an artist before all that, or do you feel more of a writer or a filmmaker? Which Which one is kind of...
I think now I'm a filmmaker. See, okay. Ever since I moved to Berlin, I've been only making films.
Okay.
It's only shortly last month, I finally find my feeling and my mood to sit down to finish my novel, new novel.
Here in Berlin?
Yeah, in Berlin. Oh, okay. I feel I cannot write in Berlin.
You cannot write?
I cannot write.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. So now that's why you're focusing more on film.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a teamwork for film. And then the novel is you need to stay at home, be in darkness, which that's a good thing for the voice from darkness. From shut down my curtain, and then I shouldn't go to parties, shouldn't meet anyone. I just need to be alone.
No.
And then in Berlin, I met so many people. And filmmaking, I need to meet actors, producers, sound design, everyone.
Yeah. Okay. We'll definitely get into that whole element of... filmmaking and that collaborative effort. Just real quick, could you move closer to your microphone? Yeah. I forgot to explain. Usually I explain, some people, they've never been on a podcast before or they've never done audio work before. When we're talking, we generally, naturally are like moving our head from side to side. But when you're doing this, like podcasting, it's like, it's got to be right here, especially. Yeah, I should have explained that earlier. Sorry about that. Totally my fault. So let's just go back to the questions. So who are you? Yeah. And maybe you can say a little bit more about, your travels. I mean, we'll get more into the location aspect of, because we do these who, what, when, where, why questions, so we'll get to the where soon, but maybe you can just say, like, you said you're from China?
Yes.
And so you are Chinese, or do you feel like...
I'm Chinese.
Yeah.
I'm just new generation Chinese.
Oh, okay. All right, tell us more about that. I don't know that much about China, and I think it's very interesting that you mentioned... that your novels could never be widely received in China because of the content.
Yes.
So maybe tell us more about like how, you're the new generation, like what that means.
I was born after 1980, and this is considered the Cultural Revolution is already finished, and we just live like any younger people in our generation all over the world. We eat a little bit rice, we drink a little bit wine, we go party, we know cocktail dress, we know everything.
Okay.
So the content now, my generation artists create from, Chinese artists create, that will be actually quite similar than those artists from New York, from Paris, from everywhere.
Oh, okay.
So we need to compete. If you're talking about making a film and write a novel, the readers are generally... worldwide.
Worldwide,
because of the language barrier, we cannot be well introduced to the other country.
Mm.
And then the artists, Chinese artists, do get introduced to Western society. That will be the older generation, I would say, which they experienced the Cultural Revolution, and they write about the Cultural Revolution, or the old times in China.
Okay. And so that's the old generation, they write more about the Cultural Revolution.
Yeah.
Okay. So is there anything else that you feel like you identify with? It seems like you're a very global person. Tell us a little bit more about why you went to Egypt.
My book is always about the lifestyle in a different country.
While I
was in China, I'm writing the columns for different fashion magazine and newspapers. They always have a part to introduce the Western food, the Western wine, Western lifestyle, and I'm those kind of columnist to write about that. And I publish some collections of my column articles, and later on I find that it would be good to write a novel about the story in different countries. That's why I start to go to Egypt and write a novel about that. And later on I write a novel about Italy, so I lived in Italy for 3 years.
Okay. So you lived in Italy for 3 years, and how long in Egypt?
3 years too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, studying that's Cairo University, and my classmates are wearing burqa.
Oh, really?
Studied Arabic.
So, okay. I guess it's pretty clear who you are. And and you had mentioned earlier your work. No, what do you call it? Artist name is Tao Tao, right?
Yes, so that's.
I'll call you that.
Thank you.
Tao Tao. Okay, so you're Tao Tao, and you're so. We'll move on to the next question, which is what? And it's like a category of questions, not just one question. It's like, what do you do? What do you, and you know, we already know that you're a filmmaker and you're a novelist and a traveler and you speak Arabic and Italian, I guess?
Yes.
And English, obviously, and German. So you're a global person. But what do you do? Like, what are your films about? What do you do for, because a filmmaker, it could be a lot of things, right? So maybe just tell us more about what you do.
It's always about madness and pain. And especially for film.
Okay.
And I produced this German movie from a crazy German opera director. That's when the first week I arrived in Berlin, and then I walked into a cafe and then he was reading the script. He's been reading it in that way for the past 5 years.
He was reading it?
He was reading it. He tried to get noticed and recognition and then find the investors.
Oh, wow.
And that's amazing thing of Berlin. And then people just, artists believe there's someone someday in a coffee shop, his script will be recognized or will be appreciated and then will be produced.
Okay.
And that happened.
That's okay, and that was your first week.
It's very easy for me from China, very commercial driven society, to find it's so easy to produce a movie like this.
In Berlin or in Germany?
In Berlin or in Germany, it's okay. So easy. He's actually already very successful director, TV director, directed 300 episodes. And all the Gute Zeiten, Schlechte Zeiten, and then all the... It's like the German audience told me that it's like a German version of Friends.
Oh, okay. And yeah, I don't watch German TV, so I see what you're saying. It's a sitcom.
Yeah, sitcom.
So he wrote 300 episodes of the sitcom.
No, he directed. Okay. He directed 300 episodes. Mm. And basically like a popular... would be compared with the American Friends or Ugly Betty or Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
He know all the, he's been worked with all the named actors and then he just couldn't take any credit from that.
He couldn't take credit?
Yeah.
What happened?
It's just Berlin.
Oh, wow.
People don't want to get things done with network or, at least it's for me, it's all the, finally, I get to produce very easily with his name. I talked to the director, to the actors. An actor did it for the Hochstellung. Like they don't get paid first. Once I get it sold to U.S., and then we get it paid. And all the team member, the cast crew, basically all just because of this director's name, they did it for free.
Wow. Okay.
But finally, they get paid because it's a Tarantino movie. It's like a Tarantino movie.
It's like bloody violence.
Yeah, bloody violence, madness.
Crazy stories.
Yeah, crazy stories and experimental. But so finally, okay, because everyone involved in this movie, they did lots of TV. They were very successful in TV.
Okay.
And
in
Germany.
TV.
You have chance to do lots of TV. You don't have chance to make your film.
Okay.
But from China... You're a writer. Today you're a writer. Tomorrow you can be a fashion designer. And the next day you can be a TV show host. So we don't see it that way. You think you can make TV. How can you cannot get your movie done?
Huh. Interesting. So you, for these, now, that is more about this director. I want to know more about what you do. So what do you do in the film process, filmmaking world specifically?
So I come to Berlin, I wrote my first English script, the short one.
Okay.
And Blake came to me.
Blake Worrell from episode number 29. Yeah.
Yes. And I was not confident of my first English script.
Okay.
And he read it. He came to me. He sat down for like 3 hours in a coffee shop, and then he said, "I want to do it." And then we made it.
Wow.
We made it. And I just, from that, and it's everyone in Berlin like, "You must do a feature. Okay. You must do a feature." And then this is very special.
Yeah.
So ever since then, I start to develop the feature, which is called a No Zuo No Die. It's everyone has a fruit name.
What is it?
No Zuo No Die. It's a Chinese internet mimic. It's like if you don't do anything crazy, you will never achieve anything. Like you will never be successful. Mm.
So that's a Chinese phrase.
It's a Chinese phrase.
I can't say it. No Zuo No Die.
So I finally changed. Yeah, it's right. No Die. Yeah, you pronounce very well.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, my cast, later on, all the producers and actors they involved, they always pronounce it like No Zuo No Die. So it's like a zoo.
Okay.
But so it's a German movie. We shot in Hessen in a small village, like Twin Peak, Wood Town.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds cool. So this is a German script.
And it's an English script.
Oh, okay.
I copied the same system as I produced my last film,
mm-hmm.
because we are aimed at, we give up Germany.
You gave up Germany?
We gave up Germany.
So you,
we don't, what do you mean by that? We aim at American market.
Okay.
Finally, it's English script. Mm. Everyone speaks English.
Mm.
And then the content, there must be a reason.
Mm.
It's English script. So it's all reasonable. And then we get it. I know how to sell it to US and then get it on VOD demand or something in China. Okay. So, yeah.
Okay, that's amazing. So would you call yourself, and this is going back to the who question, but would you call yourself a screenwriter as well? Or do you do like other things within the filmmaking process?
I'm a director.
Oh, you're also
a
director?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I direct.
So screenwriter, director, yeah. Do you act in the films?
I don't want to. I hate it.
Okay.
But when we shot the teaser, it's like I don't find any, and I didn't find any Chinese actress in Germany.
Okay. So they were, the characters are Chinese?
There's one character is Chinese.
Okay, and you had to play
it? I had to play it, so I flew to UA, LA, and then at an express training for like 2 months in this summer. So.
Wow, that sounds great. So you flew to LA. Wow. I'll ask you more about that when we get to the location, the where questions. Wow, that's amazing. I love how you just kind of, your confidence already just from these first two questions, you seem to have a lot of confidence. I really like that. But let's move on to the next sort of category of questions. It's the, I always have to think about it, who, what, when. So we talked about your sort of timeline of like you spent 3 years in Egypt, 3 years in Italy. But one of the questions that I love to ask is further back in history, in your time, in your life, what was the sort of first moment, either looking back or in that moment, the first time that you thought that you were an artist or felt that you're an artist or a writer, something like, you know, if you can remember, or looking back?
That was when I was in primary school in China. I published my first article. It's a love poem to a pop star in Hong Kong.
Okay.
I pretend to be a teenager and write this love letter and send to the newspaper, and it's published.
How old were you, did you say? Primary school?
Yeah, no. Primary school. Oh, wow. It's like a primary school fifth grade. That will be 12.
Okay.
Yeah. And then it was very painful. It was published, and my school, all my teachers read it, my parents read it, and then it's not allowed to have anything related to love. It's forbidden for any student to have. We're not talking about really like a going out relationships or boyfriend, those kind of topics. It's forbidden.
Really?
And also very forbidden. It's a very bad thing to write a love letter. So I was forced in front of whole school to say, sorry, I shouldn't have had a crush on this Aaron Kwok. which is called the Hong Kong Heavenly Four Kings. Like, he's a pop star singer.
Okay.
So that was later on always a joke. I want to, I tell people, but at that moment that was scary.
Okay, and so in this moment, looking back, you realize now that was like your first artistic thing that you did?
That's a moment I want to express whatever I feel, whatever I want to do in an abstract way. Mm. And I like to see the life. The life is not real. Whatever I do, I always think about, hey, this can be something, some details in my novel or in a story. Mm. Whatever I do, it's a little bit, maybe I'm a drama queen or something. So I believe I never lived a real life. Whatever I drink today, I come here and then I think, okay, maybe someday in a movie or in a novel, I write about this.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. I think it's also not uncommon. So in that moment, though, you said it was not a great moment. Well, when you were writing it, did you feel good?
I feel good.
Yeah, and did you feel like this was something creative? This was like an artistic thing?
Yeah, it's very creative. I made it very dramatic.
Okay, but after that, it was only after they sort of made they punished you basically that you felt bad about
in
it.
A school. Yeah. But I get my in China, if you're a good student at school, then probably you're not a good writer. Like in the school, I get very bad score for literature.
Okay.
But my articles and my books is always published.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because it's like a three acts. In a school, you must write an article in three acts. And then I said, how about I just divided the acts, whatever. I write any act I like.
Okay. All right. So then my follow-up question to that would be, did you go to school for film or for writing? And also, when did you realize that you wanted to do this, you know, for the rest of your life, whether it be for work or for just yourself or, you know?
I never went to any school specialized in writing or filmmaking. The filmmaking, I think, I attended 4 weeks express training for film directing in Berlin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that one was very helpful. It covers all the basic, all the very necessary skills for a film director.
Hmm. And so when did you realize that you wanted to do film or writing? Was it when you were younger, when you wrote that article, or was it later on when you were a little older? Or
to write a novel is always, it's just in my blood. I can write any time.
Hmm.
If I'm not disturbed, like if there's a film project running and everyone's calling me, then I can write.
Hmm.
For the filmmaking is when I, in my last book, after that published, I think I know that if I don't make films, if I don't find a way to get my story translated in English, I will just stuck like that. My book sells like 20,000 copies and then always like that.
Mm.
I feel there's I want to have more readers. I want people to know my story, the story I wrote.
Mm. Okay.
And that's the time I must make more films, especially when Blake came to me and said, you can do it, you can do this, let's make this film.
Mm. But the question really is, when did you know that you wanted to write that first novel or make that first film? When did you know that you wanted to do this? Was there a moment, or is it just something that just happened naturally through your life?
I felt like I was very lucky for writing. Every article, ever since that article was published, that love poem, it's the publisher came to me, or the article, or the news.
It keeps falling. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, it keeps falling.
Let me try to fix it real quick. That should be better. There you go.
Very balanced. Yeah. Good.
So, what were we saying? You were very lucky, you said.
Oh, very lucky. The publisher came to me.
Hmm.
Wow. And the first book is, they know I was studying in a very special boarding school. it's only girls, and that's the only one in China. And most of the wives of former president or chairman graduate from our school. People are curious. And that's, and that year, it's in China, the literature always have a kind of fashion or trend. And that year was like all the teenagers. Before that, the teenagers and the younger writers don't have time, don't have chance to get book published. Mm-hmm. It's always the older generation. And then that year, suddenly the older publishers looking for younger writers from high school. And I'm one of them. And they start to promote us like a pop star or something. Mm-hmm. Like a, you publish a book and then the book content will be connected with your lifestyle. And then what you do, what you like to drink, where do you go, it's all connected.
Yeah, they want to know more about you and yeah. basically become like a celebrity in a way.
Yeah, like that, yeah.
Okay.
So from then on, I always, whatever I write, I get published.
Wow.
So
that sounds lucky. But
yeah, very lucky.
I'm sure that you're also a good writer, and that's...
I'm not sure. I think you're too lucky, that's what... If I really, my film is successful, I think I'm a good filmmaker. That can prove I'm a good filmmaker.
Oh, okay.
But the books, it's like, because it comes too easy, I'm not sure.
That's interesting. All right. Well, I think a lot of writers would love to be in your position, but maybe, well, you said it's different in China, so...
Yeah, come to China. Everyone just write in Chinese.
Okay. So, let's see. So, the next kind of category of questions is related to time, so when. So, we already talked a lot about that, but, so you said you were in Egypt for 3 years, Italy for 3 years. When did you go to each one of those places? Which one was first?
Egypt was first, 2007 to 2010.
Okay.
Yeah, before that, I only made short trips to Egypt. And I love Egypt. I think it's so charming. It's a mixture of old golden time in Europe.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. I watched a lot of Egyptian old films. It's more charming and elegant than those time like Italian or French movies.
I actually don't think I've ever seen an Egyptian movie. I guess something to put on the list to see as a film lover, I should say.
I think one or two is are enough.
But okay.
Because the logic is quite different. It was a culture shock. That's why I must move there and I must study with all the all my classmates from a totally different world. And I wrote that book is in the last minute, like the last month, I decided, okay, I must leave this country. I cannot live there here anymore. That's the time I know what I want to write about that country. That was totally different world. And we study Arabic, and then we debate about, with my 30 classmates in Cairo University, it's about all the girls in my class, they were very proud that their husband picked them up from 3,000 photos. And then the girls from my world, we believe that there's love, there you need to go out a day to know each other. And then we every day, whatever we think, it's of course you go out and you know someone better. And then of course for them it's no way. They feel, what is love? My husband picked me from 3,000 photos, and now we have kids, we lived well. That's happiness, ultimate happiness.
Interesting. Well,
it's just an example, not only this. It's like, for example, you take a taxi from the street, and you have to tell the driver which way to go straight and turn left, which way to go. If you cannot tell him how to drive to your target, to your
destination, yeah.
Destination, and then the taxi driver will yell at you, and I'm the bad one.
Oh, my God.
So everything is different.
Yeah.
That's three years. That was amazing. That's the madness. But finally, I can understand. I don't feel it's weird. That's the time I need to leave, and I can write a book.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. So then you went back to China?
No, I made a 1-year safari from Kenya to Tanzania to Mozambique, Malawi.
Oh, wow.
And then I wrote a book, Murder Story.
Another book?
Another book, wow. About that safari.
Wow. You're prolific. You write a lot. Yeah. That's good.
I like to write.
Okay. And then, so after that, you went back to China, or?
No, after that, I met my ex-husband. He's Italian. So okay. we went to Italy.
Oh, okay. You met him in Africa?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then you went from Africa to Italy?
Yes.
Oh, wow. And then you spent 3 years there?
Yeah, 3 or 4 years. I think nearly 4 years.
Wrote another book?
Not yet. Italy is the only country that I don't know what to write.
Oh.
It's too comfy and there's no pain. There's no madness.
That's interesting. We have a lot of Italians. Well, right now it's we're at Clogaro.
Sorry.
There's a lot of Italians around usually, but... yeah, I mean, I can see what you're saying, that maybe it's too, developed.
The life of the 4 years in Italy, that was like always at seaside and I'm at beach, nice food, nice wine, and nothing to feel pain, nothing.
And you need the madness in the, well, there's some madness there, or no, not enough.
Then maybe I should have been to Napoli or, I don't know, I was in northern Italy and a very peaceful town.
So. Okay, and so then after Italy, where did you go?
I directly come to Berlin.
Okay, wow. I thought maybe you would go. You had gone back to China a couple times, but
every year I go back to China for two, like in March once, and then in September because I need to earn money.
Mm.
But I'm running a wood company since 15 years.
Wood.
Wood. Yeah, really? I cut German trees and export to all the IKEA factories.
Are you serious?
In Asia, in like China, Malaysia, and
oh my God,
and Vietnam.
That's amazing. That's actually part of the
final question.
Yeah,
I know you will
question.
Ask the question. Yeah. Usually you ask how we...
Yeah. So, all right, so that's the timeline. It's very, very amazing. So who, what, when, where. We did a lot of that. But the where question is not just where have you been, where are you going, where are you. It's also what's your relationship to these locations or to locations in general. Do you feel that location is important? Tell us about that.
Very important.
Yeah?
Very important. I never make short trip. I think I usually just want to move to some country and live in the local, live like every day, go to supermarket and then see how the local where they will go. So that's how I'm curious, and I feel like to. When I was in Egypt, I just fight in the street with Amir. I like speak the dialect, and then I do shopping in the local market, bargaining with my, with my Arabic, and that inspired me. That inspired me. The smell, the everything. So. And the language style is also changed. In every book, my language is usually adapted to the key words I can feel, I can picture about this country. So it's very poetic language style. But those time in Egypt, that book I picked a language style like a belly dance. It's everything you can dance. So it's always loud and it's always chaotic. And Yeah, the art form changes and influenced a lot by the location.
Okay, so you say it's important, and it's important for your creativity and for your art, right?
Yeah.
But how exactly? So is you're from Shanghai, right?
Yes.
So
no, I was born in Harbin. It's a Siberian -30 degree to the border to Russia.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Okay, but you grew up.
I grew up in Shanghai.
So there must be different sights and sounds and smells and things going on in Shanghai. So what is different? So why do you feel like it's important to change your location?
I've never been in one place for more than 1 or 2 years because I was born in Harbin. My parents are. That's the result of Cultural Revolution. My father is Shanghainese, my mom is from Harbin. So the Chairman Mao sent the young people from Shanghai to help the remote place in northern China. And that's why they fall in love, where they fall in love and met each other. But because of that, so in China, when you go to school and you look for a job, it always depends on where your ID belongs to. Like my ID is a Shanghainese, then it's not allowed to go to school in Harbin, and then my parents' job always changed, so I always need to travel. I never stayed in any place for more than 1 or 2 years.
In China?
In China.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So would you say then it's just like part of your...
It's part of me. I cannot settle down in one place. I feel... I cannot imagine I will be in any place forever. Don't feel home. I don't need a home. Okay. I prefer everything to be in the hotel style. Like I can always... I feel safe if I can keep all my belongings in 2 suitcases. That whenever I want to move, I can just take suitcase and go.
That's interesting. So it's almost the, yeah, the it's not even the location that's the important thing. It's the constant change.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's very interesting. I feel that. I feel that also home is more, you know, transitory. It's not just one place. Yeah. Okay. So then the next question would be who, what, when, where, why?
Why?
Why? This is, I always say it's my favorite question because it really tells a lot about the person, about the artist. It's not the most important question, but it's my favorite. So why do you make films? Why do you write? You did tell us a little bit about, you know, why you do, why you've done certain specific projects, but in general, why? It's like what makes you do it?
Every
if
day,
there's a reason, you know.
There is a reason. I find there is some desire to make a stew of every, like the people, the things showed up in my daily life, in my life experience. Because I never take it like I need food or I need clothes or I need to meet someone. I just live every day like this person show up in my life. It must be a meaning that I will put this someone to a book, or to a story. That's what I believe. I don't feel any desire to live the real life. If there's something I experience, I eat, I know that I will never have a way to put it in a story. I feel it's boring.
Okay, interesting. So, wow, that's complicated.
I don't believe there is a real life. Like everyone, every artist come to this world, you are, if you're chosen to be an artist, you don't have a life.
Well, I'm trying to comprehend this. So the reason why you do it is it because you want to share those interesting experiences?
I don't want to share. I feel they are just they're like this madness. You have to put it somewhere, otherwise yourself will go mad or you will kill yourself. That's why I don't meet, every day, the first coffee, I get up, no matter I get up at 10 in the morning or in the afternoon, I don't meet anyone, I sit in front of a computer, I need to write. Sometimes you can only write one sentence, sometimes you can write 3 pages, but until I'm sure I cannot write, I don't want to be diff, or don't pick up phone or something. So every day I live in the world, I feel I need to tell the story. I don't know tell to whom, I even don't, not necessary to have an audience. But this thing, if I don't find a story to put them in, and I go mad, I'm depressed, and then I'm in bad mood.
Okay. All right, so that's definitely more clear to me. So it's almost like you have to let it out.
Yeah.
You have to put it on the page. Okay.
But not in real. I consider any story for a film or for a novel, it's a stew. You make a stew, like you, this person's finger and that one's ear and that one's hair.
I love how it's a cannibal stew.
Sorry, that's how I feel about how I feel about things. So anyone, any characters in my novel or film, they are not, they're fictional. But they always, someone say, hey, this one looks like that girl, or that one is seems like a more similar to this guy. So it's always someone's finger and someone need to make a stew.
Hmm. Okay, I get that. So, all right, so I feel like it's like something that you're compelled to do. That makes sense to me, for sure. But I really like the way you say that when you wake up in the morning, you have to get it out as much, whether it's one sentence or three pages. I really like that. So is there any other thing is there a difference between what makes you want to make a film or what makes you want to write a story? Or is it the same feeling?
It's totally different.
Okay.
I think now I finally find the balance that I can make a film and also I can write a novel. Before I think, but film is more like the time I collect information and then collect material for my next novel. Because of a film, you met so many different person, and then you go to different locations, and then you're connected with the world.
Mm.
And finally, I feel everything. If I do a film, it's just to all the things in the blood to be activated by the other powers.
Say that again.
The other things in your blood will be activated by interacting with the other artist.
Ah, okay. You mean it's in the collaboration?
Yeah, they are different. Everyone's different. Mm. I find it's very challenging to work with others.
Mm. I agree with that. And so writing a story or a novel is different because you're by yourself.
I can write a treatment or story outline for the film, like in one day.
Hmm.
But novel is months or year.
Hmm. Okay. So that's actually something I forgot to ask way in the beginning about the who, like, because to me, this question of who is not only who are you, but it's like, who do you do it for? Who do you, you know, do you work with partners, collaborators? Obviously in film, for sure, you do. But what's your relationship to... I think you already just said it, you know, relationship to other artists.
Yes.
You know, obviously it's important for film, but how do you feel about that? Do you feel like it's like positive, or do you, because you said it's difficult.
It's very difficult. Yeah.
But do you enjoy it?
Enjoy it, okay. Because there's pain, there's madness, especially in independent film. It's... Everything can happen because it's not well prepared. It's always a little bit rock and roll.
Hmm.
We shot our last film in the basement in the winter like this. And in the basement of Han Film, they sponsored all the location.
Where?
Han Film is the one they do animation for Disney. And they have the plan to change their basement to a green screen. But they don't want to spend the time to clean it up. So they said, okay, why don't you just use it to shoot your film? So the only thing we want to, in exchange, you clean it up.
Mm. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. So we used that location, and it was very cold.
Mm.
And every artist always has very special personality or something special. I would say, if you're not weird, you cannot be an artist.
Mm.
So that's why a film is like, a whole team, whole group of artists together.
Mm. Yeah.
And then you need to keep things running.
Yeah. Actually, you just reminded me of something I wanted to ask when you mentioned about being chosen to be an artist. Did you mean that you're being chosen by like a higher power, or that you choose it yourself?
No, we cannot choose by ourselves.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Tell us more.
It's difficult to say. Yeah, I don't know how to chosen. It's just someone is lucky, someone is
It's like
not
a
lucky.
Calling.
Yeah.
It's like something. Okay. No, that makes sense. I mean, I think that most people understand that, you know, it's just something that you're called to do. It's just, there's no way of explaining it. So I guess then the final question or category of questions is the how. And you already mentioned something amazing, which I find like I've never heard this before in my life, how you make money, because that's like one of the main reasons for this show is to help not just artists, but like people in general to kind of have a better life or to figure out different ways of living through like an artist's point of view. And so you said that you cut down trees in Germany and you sell them to IKEA in China.
IKEA give the orders. All the IKEA furnitures are produced in Asian factories, like in China, Vietnam, Malaysia.
Okay, and this is how you make your money in.
I made my money. I represent a German sawmill in China from 2004 to 2007, I was good. I was good. That's also I was good to tell the story. So this industry is different. It's like
the wood industry.
The wood industry. People don't check emails, and. They don't know what's going on in Germany. They don't speak English, and then the German part, German sawmills, they are in the middle of nowhere, and they don't travel a lot. So they need me. So just in between, it's actually very easy industry. But I go to a Chinese client and then just to tell them a story like how the things is impressive in German forest, So that's why they buy from me, not from my competitor. So
you use your storytelling skills.
Go to different clients and see what they want to hear, which kind of story they want to hear, and so I tell them a story.
And so, I mean, to me, that just blows my mind that you have this very out there kind of like way of making money. And so you said 2004 to 2007, you were representing a sawmill.
That's the time I was really literally as a sales.
A sales writer. You were employed by them.
Employed by the German company. But after that, I need more money. And then my German boss is not ambitious. So I founded my own company. And then I hired a sales team. I trained them with my storytelling. So ever since then, I registered a German company. The people check, it's because the client doesn't want to buy from a middleman. And hopefully they will not listen to this.
Well, no, I doubt it.
Sorry.
No, I'm sure that they won't hear it, and you'll be fine.
So I hired one actor, and then I pretend this is a German company. I registered GmbH in Germany, and then I cut German trees, and then my sales team sells to the Chinese client. So, but I don't need to do any. I write, and then I be an artist, because the sales team, they can do everything by themselves.
Okay, I don't want you to say too much more and give up secrets, but for sure, this is very interesting. So it's, I mean, you set up your own company. That's amazing. Yeah.
The Chinese want to see, they believe. During that 3 years, the first 3 years, I had a very bad, hard time to compete with German competitors.
Selling to China.
Selling to China. Because the Chinese clients want to believe there's at least middle-aged or older, like a 60-year-old German guy sitting in Germany and selling this to them. They feel safe.
Okay.
So I realized that. So I find, I hired an actor. I casted an actor. And then every time in exhibition in March and September, he will go to stand in my booth and then shake hands with the client. And then the work is done by the Chinese sales team.
Yeah, but I mean, that's where you would call like the president of a company. It's like, a president of a company really...
You need to look like that.
Yeah, you just look like the guy. You know, you don't have to be the guy. That's amazing. That's probably the most unique thing I've heard in 30 episodes or 19 episodes of the artist series, that you founded your own wood sawmill company.
Sawmill, yeah. But this isn't the story about it. This is a feature film we are shooting, and then it's shooting in a real sawmill. I represent and sell wood. It's everyone hate their job in wood business. And then they never dare to be like a Berlin artist. Because it's like when I shoot this movie, my competitor, German competitor, came to me, said, hey, I know you. I'm actually not only a wood sale, wood company boss. I have my own band. I want to do all the music score for you for your film.
Okay.
So it's in the wood business. There's actors. I'm shooting a film based on the real industry.
Wow. What's the name of the film?
No Zuo No Dai.
Ah, that's that one. Wow. Amazing. Yeah. And if you can give me the link later on, and I think. If you have any like final piece of advice for artists and non-artists out there, like how to kind of channel this sort of creative energy to just have a better life. That's the big question that I always try to get an answer to. If you want to give a piece of advice,
I think I'm not in the position to give the artist, because if you're in Berlin and then artists don't need advices. Because even all the artists, most of the artists I met, they tell me, I'm so broke. That's our opening line. But they live well. You can still survive after 2 years, still see them.
Then what about advice for people who don't live in Berlin, maybe in a bigger city?
Being an artist, not necessary to refuse commercial opportunities like the PR or anything. I feel lots of time I talk to artists and then they think, okay, they smell there's a commercial driven or something. They refuse to cooperate with me when I produce movies, and because I can promote them. I think, okay, your Instagram or your social media in China, I actually am paid for my Chinese Twitter and the Chinese Instagram to promote brand. And in Berlin, when I talk to my actors involved in my project, they refuse to cooperate with that because they consider, because I'm artist, so I only do arty things. Huh. The money is insulting me.
Oh,
but wow. I think money is not a bad thing. Money equals freedom.
I mean, for us, yeah, in this world, yeah. I think so. I agree.
I don't take money. That's why I do run a wood business or something. I think it's money which just equals freedom. Let's say money is freedom.
Yeah.
And then it's better than we are. It's no difference to make money by posting something, or some film critics, they refuse to write critics for certain films. But in China, everyone's paid. Every Hollywood or whatever movie come to China, and then we have a PR list, and then the film critics is paid for. This you can get €200, that one get €300 or more. And then the artist in China always live the side, the income is based on that.
Yeah.
And you can pick up the one, the two or three you like, and then just not because you are paid, then it's not an art.
Yeah. I totally think that, yeah, if you can get paid, get paid. Yeah, I agree with that. So I think that's a good piece of advice. I think that we should definitely not be scared to take money from people. that's pretty much the show right there. Thank you for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for your time. It was fun.
And I'm glad to know that you're a friend of Blake. And and that you're making this amazing film. I'm going to put, links to all your, whatever you want, try to, promote
Thank
a little
you.
Bit, you know.
Thank you, it's really and, inspiration for me.
Yeah. No, you're the inspiration, thank you. So, Tao Tao.
Tao Tao.
Tao Tao. Should we say your real name too? Because it's on Facebook anyway, it's Mengen, right?
Yeah.
So, Tao Tao Mengen. Just thank you. I really appreciate it. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, okay. Steve. Ciao. I had a good time.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.